This is District Sentinel Radio. It's that newscast of record for the left. I'm Sam Sachs.
I'm Sam Knight.
We are in the Harper is a Good Girl studios in Washington, D.C. Check out the website, districtsentinel.com. Hello, intern Nate.
How's it going?
It's going well.
How's my cop? How's it going? How's it going?
How's it going, kids? How's it going?
How's your night?
Anyways, we've got a bunch of good stuff coming up on today's show. We have a sneak listen to Advice and Consent with Rachel Curzius, where we talk about Theranos. Sam, would you like to
tell us
your new startup idea that you were talking about before I hit the record button?
I was just thinking, what if there was a Theranos, but for cum, and you send in a drop of cum, and it tells you how good your dick is?
So we're going to have a preview of Advice to Consent later.
Can I? What did you expect? Did you expect me to not say what I just said when you asked me?
No, I just have the same reaction as before. We also have on today's episode a clip of some bonus content that just went up on our Patreon, patreon.com/districtsentinel, for all our subscribers. It's an interview with Twitter's @likingonline. He's the guy behind a bunch of research exposing Sally Albright as the commander of a massive Twitter bot army, and who that Twitter bot army is boosting. People like Eric Garland, a bunch of Cher Blue people.
Electric Brother.
So yeah, some really interesting research that sort of puts
Eclectic
Brother, yeah. Eclectic Brother.
This is good research that puts the whole bot discussion on its head. So stay tuned to the end of the show. We'll have a clip of that. We also have some basketball ongoing right now. Sam Knight lost the first game of the bracket.
Yep. Tennessee couldn't pull it off. Couldn't beat URI.
No, Tennessee did win.
Oh.
Oklahoma couldn't pull it off and beat Rhode Island.
That's the one.
I am still perfect in my bracket. I wonder how the listeners are doing. Remember, the winner gets to name the studio. So we'll have updates on that. I mentioned the bonus content on our Patreon. You can access it by becoming a subscriber. $5 a month gets you access to that bonus content. It also will help with pending legal bills that the Sentinel might be accruing. I took the first steps to challenging the ticket that I received when Nikki from Detroit, Nick Hayes, was in town shooting some video stuff for the Sentinel. We were riding around in his car. The registration had expired, and they gave me the ticket since I was driving. Anyways, I've formally started the process to challenge that ticket in court, and we've been harassed by some by some copyright troll in California, Pixie. They're threatening to sue us over some shitty photo that was posted to some article we wrote back in 2016. Seriously, it's a bad photo of a flip phone that I thought I got from Creative Commons, or I did get it from Creative Commons, but it wasn't appropriately listed that it was copyrighted. Anyways, they want
that's what they're claiming. Yeah. That's what they're...
Well, they're claiming it was. I have no evidence that this was a copyrighted photo.
Oh, right. Sorry, I misheard you.
But yeah, they are threatening to take us to court if we don't pay them $400 by like Monday. So
come and get it.
Patreon.com/districtsentinel. Help fund the Sentinel's legal bills that are racking up fast.
But seriously, though, Pixie's
a copyright troll.
Come fucking get us.
Come get us.
Manic Pixie Dream assholes.
Speaking of words that have the letter X in them, a correction I have to note. The Albanian communist leader was Enver Hoxha. I think I pronounced it as an X.
You pronounced it how it was spelled.
Right. So I had not anticipated bringing up the Albanian leader before the show. It was a spur of the moment thing. Had I planned on it, I probably would have looked up how to pronounce the name.
You might
apologies.
It was a good spur of the moment observation, though. I will say that.
You might want to bunker down and study your Eastern Bloc history.
Thanks. Thank you.
All right. We're going to get to the newscast here in just a second, but we did get some new subscribers on Patreon overnight, and all new subscribers do get their own haiku. So let's read some poetry.
This is for Amanda. New enemy, Belle. We have a new enemy. Pixie Ink, eat shit.
Thank you, Amanda.
Sorry to involve you, Amanda, in our bullshit.
This one is for Green Bandy. March Madness is here. It should be March Happiness, because I'm never mad.
Thank you, Green Bandy.
That's not true.
I was going to say.
I've been mad all day, in fact.
I think you've been mad on the record numerous times already today and are ready to get mad in evidence that might be introduced against you in court about you being mad. So, anyway, this is for Tristan. The season is fall, but the leaves actually drop. Makes you think like fuck.
Thank you, Tristan. Finally, this is for Ryo. 1,000 for rent, 100,000 for coke. Someone please help me. And by me, I mean Larry Kudlow.
Thank you, Ryo.
And thank you to all the new subscribers, patreon.com/districtsentinel. It's Thursday, March 15th, 2018. Here's the news. The woman tapped to head the CIA, Gina Haspel, may not have as smooth of a confirmation process as she once believed. The 30-year CIA veteran was heavily involved in the agency's illegal post-9/11 torture program and its cover-up, and more details about that could soon be available to senators. Dianne Feinstein, who earlier this week praised Haspel, is now scrutinizing her. In other words, Feinstein's doing her job. She sent a letter to Haspel and the outgoing CIA director, Mike Pompeo, calling for the full release of a full accounting of Haspel's involvement in the torture program. Feinstein said in a statement, quote, "I believe the American people deserve to know the actual role the person nominated to be the director of the CIA played in what I consider to be one of the darkest chapters in American history." Senator Ron Wyden has also called for Haspel's records to be released, and Senate Intelligence Committee leadership Richard Burr and Mark Warner said they hope that Haspel and the agency provide answers to senators' questions.
Interesting. Feinstein may be setting herself up to do the right thing here, or she may be setting herself up to whitewash a yes vote for Haspel.
Yeah.
Yesterday, as we were recording, the Senate finally passed legislation scaling back Dodd-Frank, the banking regulation bill enacted after last decade's financial meltdown. The vote was 67 to 31, about what was expected, with 17 Dems voting to support the bill. There were no amendments, but if you want to hear what the bill does, check out some of our previous shows. We've discussed it at length. There still is drama, though. Now the Senate and the House have to agree on final legislative language. And during this Congress, the House has already passed 62 bills marked up by the Financial Services Committee. Those include H.R. 10, the Choice Act, passed last summer. It's like the Senate bill on steroids. One of the things it would do is take the independence and power from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. It would rename the CFPB, quote, the Consumer Law Enforcement Agency.
Turning the CFPB into cops.
You can basically see Republicans eventually turning that into a fucking debt collection agency. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Well, as you can imagine, after the Senate bill passed, Texas Republican Jeb Hensarling was pleased as punch. Hensarling is the chair of the House Financial Services Committee, and he said this of the Senate's proposals, quote, "I look forward to combining them with our helpful House bipartisan banking bills and getting that combined bill to the president's desk." Hensarling's staff has been sending to journalists a list of 29 pieces of legislation it wants added to the final bill. Remember, these have already passed the full House of Representatives. And again, we wouldn't be at this point without Senate Democrats. So thank you again to Senate Democrats for opening Pandora's shitbox.
The Pentagon has revealed that U.S. troops were involved in another firefight in Niger last year, just months after four soldiers were killed in an ambush near that country's border with Mali. The newly revealed second shootout was first reported by the New York Times. The military says it ended in the deaths of 11 members of a local militant group and resulted in zero American casualties. There are, however, conflicting reports about how it all went down. While the Pentagon says the shootout was in self-defense and occurred during a routine mission with local forces that, quote, was in no way focused on pursuing enemy militants, an anonymous official told the Times that the mission was, in fact, focused on pursuing militants with the intention of creating a base nearby.
A secret American base in Africa.
Who would have thought it?
How original.
This all comes, of course, as Secretary of Defense James Mattis reviews an internal investigation into that earlier Niger incident that left four soldiers dead.
Not only did it leave four soldiers dead, it left President Trump having a public feud with one of their widows, if I'm remembering.
And a congresswoman. And what's interesting about this revelation is we still don't know why it's just come public now. It was actually revealed in a report that the Pentagon sent to Congress articulating its standards for using American forces abroad. So sort of this plays into the discussion about war powers we're having now with Bernie Sanders' war power resolution.
Well, it's easier to get away with mission creep when you keep the early aspects of the mission under wraps and let it escalate without really much oversight.
And potentially lie about what actually went down.
Internate mentioned Defense Secretary James Mattis. Well, Mattis used to serve on the board of a company called Theranos, a company that no longer exists. Because
if you want blood,
its CEO,
you got it.
Elizabeth Holmes, was just charged with defrauding investors. And she is the subject of this week's Advice and Consent with Rachel Curzius.
The world is a vampire.
Rachel Curzius'
right
phone
now.
Lighting up right now, informing us that it is time for HQ Trivia.
I haven't played in a long time.
Me either.
If you want to fire that up, maybe we'll play as we're doing Advice and Consent.
Yeah, that.
We'll see. Hey, Rachel.
Hey, how
Welcome
y'all
back.
Doing? Thank you.
Doing well. Is that you? Nope, that's a dog
no,
touching
a
me
dog.
Under the table.
Oh
hey,
my God,
Laika.
Why did you think that was me?
I thought maybe your leg had touched my leg. Sorry. Hi, Laika. Laika the space dog in studio here with us now.
This dog
as well.
Is so thirsty, but somehow it works out.
It's the...
What?
Are you not signed into HQ
I
right now?
I used to be signed in.
I guess
in.
We're not going to be
I'm
doing,
signed in.
Sam Knight's in.
I'm signed in.
It says
in.
Don't okay. HQ and drive, but somehow we're going to HQ and do a really scintillating
podcast.
Radio segment. I think not.
I think we will. Okay, so this is the time of the week where we dish out advice. Rachel mostly dishes out advice to people who both ask for it and those who don't ask for the advice.
Yeah.
We begin with those who don't ask for it, and we've got some advice for the ladies, and trust me, I am not going to be the one giving this advice. I am in no way in a position to be giving advice to women.
But you love
me,
you,
on the other hand.
But you, Rachel, you are going
to
be doing this.
The emotional labor it would take for me to even applaud this introduction is just too much. So I got some advice for the ladies of America. I woke up this morning a little late and I rolled over and I looked at the news and I thought to myself, I feel so empowered this morning. Why, do you ask? Do I feel more empowered on this morning than any other morning?
Why on this morning do we?
Because we have another delightful glass ceiling broken. Ladies, you too can be hucksters on the level of men like Bernie Madoff, men like, I don't know, the guy from The Music Man, Mr. Ponzi himself. Why is it?
I thought the point of The Music Man was the kids kind of play at the end. They managed to get it out.
Yeah, but you know, he came in. He was going to screw over that whole town. 76 trombones? I think not.
True.
You know?
True.
But then, you know, love changes everything except when it doesn't. So, okay. I feel like my whole life I've always just wanted to bilk people out of a lot of money, but I never had any role models. Where were all the women bilking people out of money and taking advantage of other people's easy ability to be razzle-dazzled by fancy PowerPoints. Well, exciting news, ladies of America. Elizabeth Holmes is the icon that we've all been looking for. As of today, she, along with the former president of her company, Theranos, have been charged with, quote, massive fraud. Mm. That's what the Securities Exchange Commission says, and they've agreed to resolve the claims. So, you know, I'm personally inspired by her very audacious idea of saying, like, this is what happened with Theranos. She was like, we're a Silicon Valley company that's changing the world. Sound familiar? She was like, what we do that's special is...
Uber for blood tests.
I mean, essentially, yeah. The whole idea was like, you know how normally with blood tests, they have to like use your blood, blah.
Lots of it.
Yeah. So she essentially said, with a pinprick, I have this like incredible technology that can test for hundreds of different illnesses, and you don't have to use as much of your blood. Everyone was like, sexy, can I? And immediately invested in her company. I think that it was ultimately valued at $9 billion. One of the major claims that was made was that this technology was already implemented in Afghanistan by the Department of Defense. And she had illustrious people on her board of directors, like Henry Kissinger, Rupert Murdoch,
The current defense secretary,
James Mattis.
Well, nothing says a winning proposition like Defense Department activities in Afghanistan.
Yeah, she projected profits of $100 million or revenue of $100 million to shareholders when it was actually $100,000.
Yeah, and like all of the tests that she was showing that said that her product was right along the line, she was actually sending out all of the blood to other blood testing sites to get the information that she needed. Like, look, she totally couldn't follow through on any of her claims. The technology was incredibly flawed. The Wall Street Journal, to its unending credit, broke this story, and the person who broke it, the reporter, was like a medical reporter. And previously, the people who had been covering Holmes were all Silicon Valley reporters, so they were kind of like slobbing on the Theranos knob.
Yeah, they bought into the myth
on the prick. Yeah, they were all about that prick, and they just never actually did a deep questioning of the claims that the technology worked.
Also, holding it down for white-collar criminals that won't be going to jail.
Mm, hell yeah.
Yes.
Now that's an icon we can believe in.
Elizabeth Holmes doing for women white-collar criminals what Eileen Wuornos did for serial killer women.
The other thing was that she always wore the Steve Jobs outfit, which I think is an inspiration too, because I love when people just wear the same outfit every day.
Yeah, I would actually enjoy that.
You do that.
Yeah. to update the listeners, Sam Knight and I are both clear question one in HQ trivia, having correctly answered that a bedroom is a typical room in a suburban family home.
Congrats to us.
What were the other options?
A foundry or a corral?
Oh, nice.
So Theranos... it just reminds me of how every few years there's like these there are these crazy bubbles, and it kind of reminds me of Bitcoin right now, and just that people just go manically from one thing to the next without doing any sort of due diligence, and it rules, and capitalism is great, and meritocracy is real, and financial markets very efficiently allocate resources.
The other exciting thing, or I guess I should say not exciting, but could potentially be exciting, I think some advice, a little unsolicited, I have for anyone who, I don't know, has some oversight over the Department of Defense. I'm thinking about, you know, House and Senate committees. Perhaps you ought ask Defense Secretary James Mattis about this whole thing. I don't know, just an idea.
Yeah,
perhaps perform your oversight responsibilities. Just throwing it out there.
I would certainly like to see a Democrat on any committee of jurisdiction ask him about that, because I don't know. It all seems pretty fucked up.
If I see him out, I'll ask him. Sam Knight out. eliminated on question three on HQ trivia.
Tell me
am
you
still
said
going.
Crust. Please tell me.
I didn't say crust.
Correct.
I didn't have time to read the full question, I was talking to Rachel. I didn't want to be rude.
Yeah. Wow. I'm so glad that you decided not to be rude on this podcast you invite me on.
You were the one whose HQ trivia thing got going, and we weren't even talking about this.
You're right.
Before
I should actually take off the push notification because I don't use it anymore. Some unsolicited advice to myself.
Yeah.
Okay. So this takes us. Unless you guys have other things.
No,
you
I think
say
we. I think we're settled
about
here.
Yes, Queen Elizabeth. Holmes.
I just want to read a book about this. Like, how did so many people just fucking throw their money at this goddamn carnival barker?
Why read the book when an incredible film starring Jennifer Lawrence will be coming out in the near future? Oh, that's the other thing. Elizabeth Holmes has a movie coming out about her where she's played by Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah.
Nice. Who also has experience in the scam movie world from when she was in American Hustle.
Yo, that movie sucked.
Really?
I didn't like it. I'm everyone else seemed to really like it, but
any thoughts on American Hustle, Sam Sachs?
I have not seen American Hustle.
Well, okay.
Well, you just lost. At
HQ some more great
as well. Sachs
advice.
Lost. Sachs lost. I just want to interrupt.
I didn't know the question here. A standard piece of a Bavarian outfit.
A dirndl or something?
Oh my
then I got
God.
It right if it's a dirndl.
It said time's up.
I got it, right. Dirndl.
Oh, you did. Oh, shit.
He's still in. Still in. Fake news.
He's still going.
Thanks again to Rachel to listen to the full advice and consent segment. You're going to have to subscribe on Patreon and tune in to Friday's Sentinel Cast. All right. Before we go today, we have some more bonus content for you listeners out there. Time for another sneak listen. This into some content we just posted on Patreon. It's an interview we had with Twitter account @likingonline. He just did a bunch of research about bots on Twitter. And what he found was pretty interesting. He didn't discover all the Russian bots that everybody's causing a big ruckus over. He discovered bots within the Democrats' own house. Looking at the Mueller indictment from a few weeks ago, a lot of people made a big deal about how the Russians pretended to be Americans on social media and actually stole people's identities. In this case, Sally Albright was actually using the images of dead people as the avatars of some of these bot accounts.
Right. So, dead people, an Olympic ice dancer from Spain. A Canadian woman who was in a terrible fall. I mean, I basically just Google reverse image searched these profiles, and I mean, it wasn't like it was. These accounts were not too much. It was an incredibly sloppy job that she did in creating these accounts. They were just coming up on reverse image search and buying news stories about a woman who died in a high-speed police chase, another woman from Florida who was killed in a police training drill. So, she was appropriating dead people, other famous people, models. In one of my original tweets about this, all of these assumed identities or assumed profile pictures of the Olympic figure skater, actually. I found her on Twitter and tagged her, and she was like, what the hell is this? she said, absolutely not. I did not give Sally Albright my permission to strew my photo around the internet.
So Sally Albright isn't the only beneficiary of her bot army. They're not just retweeting her stuff and her fire retorts to people online. There are other people who are benefited, whose accounts are benefited by Sally Albright's Twitter bot army. Who are some of these other people?
Yeah, so that's a really important point. A lot of the pushback that I originally got from Sally's defenders was like, well, she's just amplifying her account. Like, what's wrong with that? I mean, that's one thing, but Sally, she retweeted herself like an incredible amount, like some days like over 1,000 times. But the total number of retweets that went to Sally was only about a third or less. I think it was about 15% of the total retweets to all of the different accounts. So in my analysis, basically I split the users up by verified users and unverified users. And about 60% of the retweets went to unverified users, and a big portion of that was Sally, and then about 40% went to verified users. And so the most retweeted verified user was Eric fucking Garland. Wow. Which was pretty surprising.
Like one of the most vocal voices about Russian interference in bots.
Right. The main Twitter conspiracy theorist about Russian bots is getting boosted by an ex-Republican operative screeching about bots.
All right. Thanks again to Trevor, a.k.a. at Liking Online. If you want to listen to that full interview, you're going to have to go to Patreon, patreon.com/districtsentinel.
Help us in our crusade, our class war.
That's the end of the newscast. Time to check out the listener rant line before we go.
Fellas, hey, it's George again. Hey, listen, I just wanted to get out ahead of this thing before I get boned or something. First, two things. First of all, yes, I do say thank you every time I enjoy tendies. That's why I keep spilling the mustard on my lap, if you'll remember. Two, I listened to the rest of the episode, and the guy who gets paid to work in wildlife shit agreed with me. So anybody who calls in disagreeing, it's fucking wrong, bitch!
George there referring to his call yesterday about how trophy hunters suck and daring people to shoot him with a crossbow. Thanks for the call, George. One more message to get to.
Hello, Sam. Hello, Sam, also. Hello, Nate. And while I realize you're not blessed enough to live in the Northeast, in terms of the seltzer wars, I'd like to highlight that Polar and not LaCroix is the best of all seltzers. Also, Betsy DeVos is a comic book villain, and I love y'all, heart, 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 listener and subscriber, Kate. Have a great day.
Well, thanks for the call, Kate. I don't drink seltzer water, but the gauntlet has been laid down here with Sam Knight and Nate.
I have to say that I have heard numerous times that Polar is better than LaCroix, and I'm willing to give Polar maybe a shot. I feel like that is a more meritorious angle than simply all seltzer water is bad. All flavored seltzer water is bad. So I don't know. Maybe I should give Polar a shot. I think they have it at Giant.
Yeah, I mean, it's from Massachusetts. I'm from Massachusetts. I'm open to
Boo.
It. LaCroix does have the advantage
probably
of being,
racist.
Of being a union product. So I'll give it that. I'll check out Polar's labor history when I get a chance.
Call the rant line 202-684-6108. Sponsors of the show include the Congressional Dish podcast hosted by Jen Briney. Find it at congressionaldish.com. Another sponsor, levelnews.org. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher. Tune in by searching for District Sentinel Radio. Give us a review. Give us a rating. Tell your friends to listen. The newscast is back next week. Subscribers, you'll hear from us tomorrow for the Sentinel cast. We're in D.C., so you don't have to be.